Thank you, Jesus. Let's read this scripture before we pray with the tithes and offering. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So as we bring our tithes and offering before the Lord today, we do so not out of obligation, but as an act of worship, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God who has given us all things in Christ. Giving is an expression of trust, gratitude, and partnership with His purposes on this earth. Father, we thank you, O God. We can be part of what you are doing on this earth. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings. We thank you, Father, bringing the tithes as worship unto you, an expression of our gratitude of all your blessings. Thank you. Your blessings continue to be poured out upon our lives, upon the young and the not so young, and those who are retired in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. The offering that we bring may be multiplied back to us according to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let me just share with you this testimony. This is the story of Bayan bringing Oliver to U.S. To go to school. And she went in April and then just had to bring him there to go and look for a school and also look for a place to stay. So from what we see, God is actually leading them along the way. So this April, they went there. She had to look for a place to stay. Then she saw in an ad a townhouse. A townhouse on the ad, it doesn't look nice at all. Now, this is the key. It didn't look nice. And then you're from China, and then they are prejudiced. And then the landlord is prejudiced against you because you're from China. I don't know whether you can afford to pay. And the agent also not too keen to really bring you to go and see. But she felt led, want to go and view this townhouse. So the agent, okay, so you insist on viewing, brought her to go and view. Then when she went, standing outside the door, outside the front yard, she knew that's the place. But she went in there, it really doesn't look nice, you know. See, but very important is that the Lord impressed upon her heart, go and view that place. And then the landlord said, you must start renting from June. From June, you must start paying rent. Then she said, before she told me the story, she said, you know, this is we Chinese people's business idea. She wrote a letter to the landlord and said, I'm very serious about renting. I got my PR. And then I said, I'll do one thing for you. I'll paint up the whole townhouse and put in all the electronic stuff. Because I was told, you know, putting the alarm is very expensive. Internet alarm, all that. But so on one condition, I'll start paying rent in July instead of from June. Also, the landlord very happy. Oh, we're going to treat her very nicely because, well, this China lady, different story. And the landlord agreed. So now, instead of paying from June, she painted the whole place like brand new. Right? She painted the whole place. There's also a basement. But you see, the key is here, she felt led. The Lord impressed upon her. So she sent in her spirit. Then from there on, you know, she's going to start the lease in July. So God knows, you know, sometimes we walk by sight and what we see is, this place is not like that. But if the Lord impressed upon you, or you know, you feel led, it is against what you are seeing by sight. When then, when the wisdom came, she said, I'll paint the whole house for you. It's not a condo, it's a whole townhouse. $5,000 to paint, the rental also about $5,000. So, but at least, you know, she got to move into a new place right now. Looks brand new. Amen. Then I was telling the prayer group, I say, when you come under this teaching, under this kind of influence, you know how to follow the Lord. You follow the Lord because this is what I've been teaching and this is what you've been hearing, the testimonies. Testimonies is very important. In Revelation, say we overcome him by the word of our testimony. And maybe one day I'll teach, what does that mean tied to Jeremiah 29, verse 11? In the Old Testament, when God talked about, put me in remembrance, remind me. What's he saying? Actually, in the sight of God, I really bless you, really. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, many times we use it to pray concerning God's plan. That prophetic word was spoken by Jeremiah when Israel were going into captivity in Babylon. God said, I really bless you, really. I bless you, I have a plan, I bless you. And then and that's where the testimony comes in, where you declare it. The word of a testimony is very important. When I share testimonies like this, you're coming under an influence, a spiritual influence. Amen? Praise God. And then keeps you in tune with the Holy Spirit because you hear testimonies like this. Some people still want to go back to those traditional churches. So today, I want to talk to you about the role of the Holy Spirit, the power behind the believer's authority. Amen? So, we have authority in the name of Jesus. Authority must be empowered. And there are people, you know, who are their head of department or CEO. they have authority. But come to a point, they have no more power because they are taking it away. They want to give it to somebody else. They have authority when you're still sitting there in that position as a CEO, but actually you have authority, but you don't have power to make decisions because it's been taken away. So it's very important, you know, we understand the power behind our authority. Authority must be empowered. So today we study the role of the Holy Spirit, specifically the power He placed behind the believer's authority. We have already established that every believer is a new creation, is in Christ, is seated in the heavenly, and holds authority through the name of Jesus. But one critical question remains, how is this authority actually expressed in real life? So without the Holy Spirit, the authority remains theological, conceptual, unexpressed. But with the Holy Spirit, authority becomes experiential because you experience it. You will see the result of it. Amen? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, when you use the authority, the power of the Holy Spirit is released. You see, you experience it, you'll see the result. Not too long ago, 2-3 months, Chloe was saying, I'm given an assignment to write something about the crime about the Aboriginals. Oh, wow, man, I don't understand Aboriginals, Australian. I said, go chat to me, go AI lah. Right, yesterday I asked her, I said, how was your assignment? She said, she got a high distinction for writing something about the Aboriginals, Australians, which you totally have no understanding. Praise God. And then why I share that, you know, many times that you're given an assignment that you find that, man, I don't understand the culture of the Aboriginals, you know, in Australia. So what do? You pray. That's where you use your authority. And there's a power, and power can come in many forms. Power can come in the form of God's wisdom, God's guidance, God's leading. I shared it early on, the testimony about Brian felt impressed to, what was that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit oppressed upon her. We go and view, insist, get an agent to get an appointment to go and view that place. When she went and standing outside the door, she just knew that's our home. Where did it come from? That's another impression in her spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But when the Holy Spirit is impressed upon you, He's giving you the authority to act. So authority can be expressed in many forms. Then you experience, and I tell the story, I got a story to tell. So it's experiential, it's demonstrable, right? Because when you pray, the power of the Holy Spirit release, it's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And then there's result after that. And it's powerful, amen? So the promise of the Holy Spirit, let's read Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait in the city until you are endued with power from on high. This was before Jesus ascended. He rose from the dead, went to heaven, came back down, and appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And he told them, wait. What were they waiting for? Waiting for Pentecost. On the 40th day, before he ascended, he told them, you wait for. Nowadays, we don't have to wait. Those days, the gifts of the Holy Spirit has not been given. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has not been given. So they wait for the Pentecost. So Jesus told them to wait until you will be endued. There's a power that comes upon you. Now, there are two dimensions here. They were already born again. The Holy Spirit lives in them. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in them, there's a power that's in them, in you, for living a Christian life. But there's another power that comes upon you that Jesus is talking about here when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. So before Jesus ascended, He gave the disciples a specific, unmistakable instruction. They wait, even though they had walked with Jesus, witnessed miracles, received profound teachings, and had already operated in authority in His name, they were still told to wait. Why? Because authority requires power to preach, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to strengthen themselves in the spirit, soul, and body. So when the apostles were born again, the Holy Spirit dwelt in them as they were baptized with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and spoke in other tongues. The Holy Spirit came upon them with the power to anoint them for ministry. But you all are also in ministry, even though you're not in full time. You pray for yourself and others. You use your authority over spiritual forces for yourself and others. You speak words from God. So the Holy Spirit empowers you when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in another tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So that was a turning point. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit at Pentecost, it was a turning point for their lives. At first, Jesus appeared before them. Jesus rose again, appeared before them. They were actually hiding in the house. They were fearful of the religious Jews. Once they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they were bold witnesses for Jesus. So they once hid behind locked doors, stepped into public squares, proclaiming the risen Christ without hesitation. Secondly, what was hidden become public proclaimers. The Holy Spirit transforms private followers into public instruments of God's power and grace. Amen. And they were weak, become powerful instruments. Human weakness became the very platform upon which divine power was displayed before all nations. So, when you pray in a known tongue, you're baptized, you also can be bold. In fact, a long time ago, before I became a Christian, I was wondering, how come these Christians, they're so different, you know? There's just something different about them. So when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you pray in the known tongues, you know, in the workplace, you can still be bold. You can be bold, you can also be bold with the wisdom of God coming upon you. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the indwelling presence. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You have from God and you are not your own. So I mentioned it a couple of times before. Now, the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen. So God is not distant. He is not far off waiting to be reached. He has made His home within you closer than your own breath. How far is God? He is in you. You are in Him. Amen. He has never left you. Have you left God? You have not left God. You cannot leave, actually. Actually, let me tell you one thing. The secret is once you get somebody born again, they cannot give up their salvation. So no matter what, they'll be in heaven. Unless they fulfill the 5 conditions plus the 6th condition, they reject Jesus. 5 conditions stated in Hebrews chapter 6. And very few people will fulfill this 5 conditions. So in other words, nobody lose their salvation. Almost. So once you get somebody saved, you say, I don't want Jesus anymore. You just have too late. Amen. You just have too late. It's too late. So it's not distant. And you are in His presence. You do not need to come into His presence. You are in His presence. Amen. Morning or whenever you pray, when you close your eyes, first thought is, I am in the presence of God. You don't try to get into His presence. Oh, you woke it up to get into His presence. Oh, I try to sing song to stir your hour up to get into His presence, to worship Him. No, open up your mouth because you're already in His presence. Amen. See the difference? Those kind of teaching on worship, oh man, we need to have song, oh, I want to hype you up, to pump you up, so get you into the flesh, that's all. The moment you come, you sing, you pray, you close your eyes, you are in His presence. Then next thing you should tell yourself, I'm in the presence of God, I can sense Him now. Tell yourself, by faith, based on what? Based on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. For you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, who's you? You are the Spirit. Whom you have from God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Remember, I always say when you read the New Testament, when it refers to you, always think in terms, you refer to my spirit man, not your soul, not your mind. So the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Actually, you belong to Him. Amen? You're not your own, you're His. Means what? Means He will speak to you, He'll lead you, He'll guide you, He'll protect you, He'll provide for you. Amen? All you need to do is learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. He will empower you. When He gives you, He impress upon your spirit, that's the power of the Holy Spirit impress upon you. In other words, Holy Spirit is in you means you can hear from Him. You can recognize He bears witness with your spirit. First principle I always teach, how to learn how to listen, hear from God. Stop saying, I cannot hear from Him. You can. You can hear from God. I'm not hearing means He's not speaking. Why is He not speaking? He doesn't need to say anything to you. Or you better ask Him, say, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, why are you silent about this matter? He's in you, you are in Him. Who say you cannot hear from Him? Because you always think in the natural, you always use your mind. You like to use your mind so much. No, you ought to use your mind in the world. You better use your mind. When you come before God, don't use your mind. Use your faith. Faith says, I'm in your presence, you are in me, I can hear from you. But I'm not hearing from you. Amen. Stop saying I cannot hear from Him. The first principle to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit is to stop saying, I cannot hear from God. How many of you have fathers and mothers? Have you heard from your father and mother before? My father and mother have spoken to me for 10 years. That kind of father is different. My heavenly father is different. Amen. And I must tell you all, he just spoke to me 2-3 days ago, morning. He said, when Chloe comes back in July, 2 Sundays worship, set up the drums. Yeah, so July, we're going to set up the drums plus the keyboard, and Chloe is going to sing. So from here on, that means end of the year are going to be the same. Why? I don't know what it leads to. And just obey him. Very clear. Amen. Early in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So you are in his presence. Don't go and spend $30 and buy a book how to get into his presence. Let me just teach you. Very simple. One scripture is enough. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Amen. You are in his presence. What more you want? Hello? I cannot hear from God. Stop using your mind. And when you pray, stop using your mind. Take your mind and listen to your spirit. How do you listen to my spirit? Listen to your tongues. Amen. Huh? Oh, I cannot hear from God. Who says so? When the Heavenly Father speaks, there's only one choice. You either obey or disobey. Okay? He will make sure you hear when he speaks. You listen to him, you will be blessed. Like, Bayan, man, I'll paint the whole house. Wow. The landlord, okay, start paying in July. Because anytime you move up, my house is painted. And you put in the alarm. You put in the internet. Of the internet, you need to subscribe. The alarm is expensive, I was told. Adrian's sister living in the US, 6 p.m. in the night, she switched on the alarm already, the whole house. Then she said, wow, and it's a sudden sound in the whole alarm. 6 p.m., no. Hello, here at 2 a.m. my neighbor, last time my Indian neighbor, my sister said, oh, 2 a.m. I walk on the street. I'm there 6 p.m. I haven't even finished dinner, you switch on the alarm first. Huh? Sometimes I even forgot to lock my door. The next morning I woke up, wait, the door is not locked. It just and sometimes the key is left on the door. And one time I said to the neighbor, oh, you left your key. And it happened to us, so the key's on the door. US, you'd probably be dead. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You are in his presence. Your presence means you can hear from him when he speaks. You just need to quiet yourself down. Wake up in the morning and, you know, start thinking about your work. First thing, your mind goes to God. Oh, I'm in your presence. You're in me. I'm in you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank him. Praise him. You don't need an hour to praise him, to thank him. Just thank him. Thank him for all that you have. Pastor, I don't have much, but you still have what? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And his power is in you. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. You think the power of the Holy Spirit is in you? He left the power in heaven. Sorry, I left the power at home in heaven. So I dwell in you, I'm powerless. No, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is also in you. Amen? Since the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and active within you right now. Amen? So when you use your authority, the Holy Spirit empowers you with boldness, your faith, and your fervency. That's why when we pray in the known tongues, I don't get dry. I don't need to go sabbatical. And I'm still fired up. Praise God. Many times, you know what happened? Don't add programs into the church that God never tell them to go and do. So there are two dimensions of the Holy Spirit at work. Indwelling versus empowerment. Indwelling at salvation produces new birth, establishes spiritual identity, who you are in Christ, anointing in your spirit for living daily. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Many times he prompts you, if you ignore, sickness hits. So in 1 John chapter 2:27, anointing which you have received from him abides in you, stays in you. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing inside teaches you concerning your daily lives, things in life. And don't be quick to ignore when you sense a prompting. Amen. That's why Bayan is blessed. She just felt, before she told me the whole story, she said, I'm trying to tell you something. There's something about we Chinese, she said. So I'm trying to figure out what is it about Chinese? Must be the Chinese business people, or Chinese people, or Chinese culture, something that she countered. She said, I'm not going to pay from June, but I'll paint the whole house. That's why when you go look for a job, be active. Ask God for wisdom. Even though you know what's the salary range, ask God. I saw another TikTok. This person said, they always ask you, what's your salary expectation? They really have a range. And most people make the mistake of telling how much they want. See, that's not the way. So
that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you is for living, but when it comes upon you, it's for empowerment. In Abel's kingdom ministry, sometimes things like this, you need to ask. They bounce off at somebody else because others have worked many years, tap their wisdom. Another thing is, don't isolate. Well, I'll come to that. Don't know whether which week when I teach. So they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples experienced both. Jesus breathed on them, John 20:22. They were born again. The church was formed, started in John 20:22. Their indwelling. Then at Pentecost, empowerment, both I mentioned, are for every believer. So there are two distinctions, yet complementary dimensions of how the Holy Spirit works in the life of a believer. Understanding both is essential for walking in the fullness of what God has provided. Amen. The Spirit and boldness, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Another thing, every day we say, Lord, thank you for the Spirit of wisdom. Amen. It will help you in concerning how to handle your finances. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You go for interview, you present a contract, you want to speak with boldness. Amen? Because boldness conveys confidence. You're confident about your product, you're confident about yourself. Why you should hire me? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word with boldness. You feel the Holy Spirit, you pray before you go for an interview, before you go for a bid for a business contract, you pray and you enhance your boldness. Then you have confidence. Fear is replaced with the assurance rooted not in self, but in the Spirit of God who dwells within. And you have courage. I mean, that one is really, she went to the US to go and find a place. The agents don't feel like bringing her. He said, no lah. You won't like that place. And when the landlord said, you know, you fellas don't know whether serious or not. And she wrote the letter. He said, look, I got my PR. I'm here long term. My son is going to go to school. I'm going to rent this place. And I'm going to pay for the paint the whole house. He said, oh, but you're really serious. Put in electronics. That means the alarm system, you know. I don't know what else. Then the believer no longer shrinks back. He stepped forward to speak, to heal, to cast out demons and to go forth and anything else in the natural. There will be clarity. The Spirit brings sharply focused purpose. You know who you are and what you carry and what you stand for and what you do. Focus. He impressed upon you. You just know. He impressed upon you. You just know. That morning, I just knew. Straight away, I told them. I asked Joy. I asked Rachel. I said, when Chloe comes back, sing and set up the drums. Amen. So one of the first and most visible evidence of the Spirit's empowerment is boldness. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in unknown tongues is also described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result is unmistakable, unshakable courage that no persecution could silence. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. Spirit and power. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead flows through surrendered vessels to bring healing and restoration and to cast out demons. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual authority backed by Holy Spirit's power breaks every stronghold that opposes the kingdom of God. You are part of the kingdom of God. You are the child of God. Any demonic spirit comes against you, you have the power that comes upon you. You use your authority to go against him. Amen. So the Spirit is not merely a comforting presence. He is the source of divine supernatural power, enabling the believers to accomplish what no human ability could achieve alone. This power is released through yielding to the Holy Spirit. When we pray in unknown tongues, we are yielding to him. Amen. It empowers you to speak with authority. Your words spoken under the Spirit anointing carry weight. They accomplish what they are sent to do. And it will demonstrate the kingdom. That means we will see result. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. And the Holy Spirit is that power made manifest. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Sheila rented out a room to a Malaysian couple. And a couple of months ago, she got the wife saved. And they're applying for PR, and she prayed for them. They just got a PR. And they used that as testimony. See, God. They say, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Both of them are Malaysians and they have a son in Malaysia. The Holy Spirit not only comes upon us, but he also will guide us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. But as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Read it the other way. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You know why? Because he's in you, you are in him. How he leads you, he will speak to you, he impress upon you, he will
any other ways he may use to lead you and guide you. And you can hear from him because you are sons. He will lead you. He will show you. He will give you wisdom. The Spirit grants insight that transcends human reasoning. Early on, I shared a testimony. According to human reasoning, look at the photo, that place looks bad. But God said, go. That's impressed upon him. Go and view that place. It transcends human understanding. Should you sell a house? Should you continue to stay in your house? Put that aside. Pray. And just relax and pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. Revealing God's perspective on every situation you face. He gives us direction because He will guide us. He will show you where to go, what to pursue, which door have been opened or closed by the Father's hand. There are doors open and not God who open. When there are doors that's open in the natural, you better know by the Holy Spirit whether that door God opened or the devil opened for you. Don't just open the door and just rush right in. Last Sunday, you know, afternoon prayer leader led and then prayed. He said, we saw the door was ajar. So yesterday in the prayer room, I was just throwing out questions. I said, what do you do when the door is ajar? One person said, sometimes you shut the door. I said, yeah. Sometimes you pray God shut. In scripture, Revelations, God will shut the door, no man can open. Will open the door, no man can shut. But don't misapply that. You don't pray, God, I pray, if you open this door, that means it's your will. You shut this door means it's not your will. No. That's not what the scripture says. That scripture says, God opened the door, no man can shut. God shut the door, no man can open. But you want to know who is opening and who is shutting the door, you better know by the guidance of the Holy Spirit in you. Don't go see door open and somebody offer you good price, only sell means you have to sell, not necessary. You say, wow, the price is so good. Maybe the next one coming, the price is going to be higher. So you need wisdom. You need wisdom to really discern. You need supernatural wisdom for natural matters. It will help you to decipher, to discern, and dissect, you know, and understand. The doors open, what does that mean? So what should I do next? What do you do next? Don't ask your head. Listen to your spirit. He will give you direction. He will show you where to go, what to pursue, the doors. Then timing. Timing, when to act. Now, Bayan's the one telling me a couple of times. He said, man, last year I got a PR. It is of God. It was God who gave her the PR to bring her son there to go to school. She said, last year I go, man, I know what it means. She'll be full of anxiety. She's going to have, wow, man, she'll stress out handling the whole thing. But this year, things just went very smoothly. Amen. Timing. Knowing when to act is as vital as knowing what to do. The Spirit aligns your action with God's appointed moment. That's where patience comes in. Amen. If not, you waste money. So power without direction can lead to misuse. The Holy Spirit does not simply empower, He guides. A son of God is not one who acts on impulse, but one who moves in step with the Spirit's wisdom. Now, when you have to make a decision, you have authority. You make a decision concerning buying or selling a house, that's your authority. That's natural authority. But there are spiritual authority also. You can subject both your natural and your spiritual authority to His leading. Cultivate sensitivity. The role of the Holy Spirit, we can cultivate our sensitivity. So walking in the Spirit requires a deliberate, ongoing practice of turning your spirit to hear and to respond to the Holy Spirit or respond to God. The Holy Spirit does not force His way, He leads. You ignore Him, He ignores you. Because we're simple, what? You're not going to weigh Him, why He bother with you? Out of His mercy and grace, many a time He pursues you. He prompts you again, He speaks to you, He sends an angel to speak to you, He'll send somebody else, you know, to scold you. You ignore, He will ignore you. And you know what? The consequence is always you pay the price. The Holy Spirit does not force His way, He leads. And the more consistently you yield, when you learn to yield, you pray in the known tongues. When you pray, we pray together, we yield. 2-3 days ago, when He told me, set up the whole drum. I don't ask, I can set up or not. I tell them, set it up. I told Barry, drive the van down, bring the stuff up. Get somebody to help him to bring the stuff up, set up the drum. Amen. My instruction goes. Nobody obeys. That's not my fault. I obey. God will not tell me to do something that it will not be done. That means you all will set it up. He said, you're going to give me a good job. You know, come to a point. God said, oh, no, sorry. There isn't any job for you. No.
So spirit and sensitivity come through fellowship. You spend time in conscious communion. The more consistently you yield, the more clearly you will discern His voice in every area of life. Amen. Always very simple. When I hear from Him, I better obey. I'd rather obey and miss it than not obey. If I don't obey, it will pass. But obey the most, miss it. I'll say, oh. So it comes through spending time in conscious communion with the Holy Spirit, through praying, through communing with the Father, not just asking, but listening and acknowledging His presence throughout your day. Sometimes you said to just speak in tongues, just speak in tongues quietly. Doesn't matter where, the toilet, in the bus, in the train, in the workplace. Sensitivity comes through praying in the Spirit. Praying in the known tongues builds sensitivity and strengthens your inner man, your spirit man, to receive the Spirit's leading with clarity. A good practice habit, when you first open up your eyes, open up your mouth and begin to thank Him and praise Him and get your mind to think of the Holy Spirit in you. Because after you wake up, that's the best time. Your mind not clouded with a lot of matters of life, the issues of the workplace. That's where it's very clear. First thing, put your mind to listen to your Spirit. If anything, He will speak to you, you hear very clearly. Because you just woke up. Before you woke up, there's nothing in your mind. Your whole day is busy. Ding ding dong long, all kinds of stuff, and you have to ding ding dong long with. So cultivate this habit. When you open up your eyes, open your mouth and thank Him and praise Him, and let your mind think of the Holy Spirit that's in you. You are in Him. Amen. Then once you hear the morning, you learn to recognize it. Very clear. 2-3 days ago, very clear. At first, I don't even sense a strong praying. I just utter a few words in tongues and just thank Him and pray. Suddenly I sense I need to pray a bit more. A moment I went to pray a bit more, He says, set up the drums for worship. So sensitivity comes through listening, and not only listening, not only praying, obedience. Discerning grows through practice. Each act of obedience to the Spirit prompting sharpens your ability to recognize His voice the next time. Amen. Praise God. So I know that a lot of morning, He didn't say anything compared to that morning, very clear. See now, when you learn to listen and you obey Him, it deepens your sensing, deepens your knowledge of differentiating between when He's speaking and when He's not speaking. Now listen to this one carefully. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Understanding the times of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and know what to do. Amen. Their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. Let me give you the background of this. Issachar was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, descended from Jacob's sons by Leah. During the First Chronicles era, the nation of Israel was broken into two kingdoms. Now, when they asked for a king, the first king was King Saul, then was King David, then King Solomon. After it was broken into two kingdoms. One kingdom broken into two. The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Kingdom of Israel has got more tribes. King Saul was the king of the kingdom of Israel. And he had just died in the battle alongside his two sons. Issachar was a tribe of the kingdom of Israel. So the kingdom of Israel and Issachar was the kingdom of Israel under King Saul. David was the king of the kingdom of Judah when Saul died. After King Saul died, the leaders of the 10 tribes in the kingdom of Israel, it means under King Saul, there were 10 tribes. Two tribes were following King David under the kingdom of Judah. After King Saul died, the leaders of the 10 tribes in the kingdom of Israel decided to join King David. The leaders of the tribe of Issachar, out of 10 tribes, one of the tribes was Issachar. Now, King Saul died, and actually the other two sons also died in battle. King Saul died in battle. King Ish-bosheth took over, became king. For 2 years, he became king of Israel and he was assassinated. Out of the kingdom of Israel, there were 10 tribes. Issachar and other tribes came under the kingdom of Israel, after King Ishbosheth was assassinated, King Ishachar said this, made this statement in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. So the leaders of the tribe of Ishachar were men who understood the times and knew they ought to lead their men to join David. And how they knew they need to join? Because God has spoken. God has spoken that David ought to be king. So instead of splitting the two kingdoms, Saul's son been assassinated. So this Ishachar had 200 chiefs. Ishachar, this tribe, have 200 chiefs. And these 200 chiefs understood the times and know what they should do. They understood the times, what they need to do. They ought to lead the tribe, the kingdom of Israel to follow, to join up and to follow King David. It means to join up, merge with the kingdom of Judah. Hence, the kingdom of Israel and Judah merged into one kingdom under David as king, fulfilling God's plan. Saul was king for 40 years, died in battle. Ishbosheth, 2 years later, was assassinated. Concerning God's plan, the Holy Spirit is a source of spiritual understanding, discernment of seasons, strategic directions. What was the strategic direction for the kingdom of Israel? Is to join up with Judah. All this came from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit, we will have understanding of the times. Amen. And not only understand the times, the season of time, we must understand what to do. And we are entering into a new season, time and a time for a new season. Because of this war, it's going to be different. America is not going to be the America that used to be. It's changing. The whole world is changing. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, you may have authority but lack timing. With the Holy Spirit, you move with precision. For example, you are parents, you are leaders of a family. You are CEO, head of a division in a corporation, you are leader. If you are leader of a section, small team, you are like the sons of Ishachar. You have the authority to lead and make decisions. Then you need to understand the time and know what to do. How are you going to know? By the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You are leaders, you have authority, but the power of the Holy Spirit enables you to understand, because the power of the Holy Spirit will impart wisdom and will guide and lead. Whether you are a parent leading your family, CEO heading a division, heading a corporation, or someone heading a division or a leader of a small team, you carry authority. The Holy Spirit can give you the Ishachar dimension, understanding of the times and the wisdom to know exactly what to do. Students, also very important. When you understand what to do, you know what you need to do, and you better do it. Amen. And you make sure you don't miss the time. It's not just those who grown up, those that retired, those who go into school, same thing. How are you going to get it? Pray in the known tongues. Thank God for wisdom. Efficient prayer. Amen. Praise God. Remember, we give you the laminated one. Here's when you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Understanding the times. Without the Holy Spirit, I just read this early on. With the Spirit, you have spiritual understanding, discerning of seasons, strategic, precise direction, and the whole world is entering into a new season. Amen. Some people just have no sense. Talk about investment. No sense at all. That's why they miss. So you are a new creation man in full expression. You have authority, you have power, and you will have precision. Authority given in Christ, every believer carries the name and the authority of Jesus. Secondly, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you are not baptized, then you have the Holy Spirit still in you. The Holy Spirit provides the supernatural force that makes authority effective, and He will guide you. You have precision, guide you by revelation. The Ishachar dimension, knowing the times and knowing exactly what to do. When you know it's time to study, then you put in all the effort. I'll tell you a story about myself. I knew, you know, if I get into art stream, I'm finished, you know. I'm finished. I wasn't even saved at that time. My days, there's only one science class. And the science class is the best, top class. I must get in there. If I don't, I'm finished, you know. So Sec 3 is the time when they split, you see.
You either go to art stream or you go to science stream. So Sec 2, man, I understood the time. I understood what I need to do. I mean, must be the wisdom from God at the time. I just hit the books. Those subjects that I don't understand, I memorized. When the exam came out, I spill out statement by statement. Oh, I could do that. I just wrote out every statement, memorized by heart. And not just one short paragraph, long paragraphs. I memorized that. I just spill it out. I got into the science class. And you know what's my weakness? They, once you get in, you relax. You relax, man, you got hit again. I got hit again. I relaxed. I'm not like Adrian, like, you know, so consistent, you know. RJ girl, you know. I relaxed until I got plucked. My friend would every day after school sit there with me, talk about everything else. But you know what? He studied in the night and I suffer. So he studies in the night. After finish talking to me, he'll go to his uncle's place. Uncle will tutor him, and he'll study in the night, and then I suffer. So this is a full expression of the Spirit-empowered life. Not just having authority in theory, but walking in it with power and precision. We have both spiritual authority and natural authority, and the Holy Spirit equips us to exercise both with accuracy and wisdom. So the danger of ignoring the Holy Spirit, the danger of ignoring the Holy Spirit, you know doctrine, you lack the power. Theological correctness alone cannot produce supernatural works in the Spirit that the Spirit enables. Truth must be clothed with power. You ignore, you may speak the truth, but you lack the impact. Words without anointing may be accurate, but remain powerless to transform lives or break spiritual opposition or bring benefit to your own self. You go interview, you go for negotiate contract, try to sell something, what you say has got no impact. And you have authority, if you don't have the power, you know there's no manifestation. Authority unexpressed through spirit leads to frustration, spiritual dryness, and a sense of ineffectiveness in your life. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So a believer who neglects the Holy Spirit may still possess all these things, but you lack other things. So living in a Spirit-empowered life, you'll walk in confidence, you'll minister effectively to your family members, not necessarily to your friends, and you discern accurately. Amen. Praise God. A life guided by the Holy Spirit is not an exclusive privilege reserved for the apostles or the prophets or those with extraordinary gifts. It is a fundamental, tender experience for every believer. The indwelling Spirit of God is not merely an added benefit. He's essential for living as a new creation in this world so that you can discern accurately, move with the Issachar wisdom to understand the times and seasons. Amen. Living a Spirit-empowered life enables you to act boldly. You step forward in authority to speak and to lay hands on those who are sick in the families, to go to serve. And you live victoriously, not surviving, but thriving, overcoming through the Spirit's power. You will not live in fear. And the Spirit will make it real. The power behind your authority. The authority is Jesus. It's in Jesus' name. It's not empty. The Holy Spirit supplies the power that makes it effective against every opposition you face. The guide in your decision, He's your guide. He leads you with wisdom and timing so that every step you take, it's aligned with the Father's purpose and eternal plan. And He strengthens you in your weakness. Where your natural ability ends, His divine empowerment begins. He is the ever-present help in every moment of need. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And everything Christ accomplished becomes real in your life through the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're not alone. You're not powerless. The Spirit of God lives in you. Amen. Praise God.